Good morning again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and it's a joy to meet you again. Thank you very much for listening. We're so pleased and proud to use this facility and to use this place, and the people at this studio are so kind to me and help me when things go wrong, and it's amazing. It just is so remarkable that God is with us. Well, wishing you a good morning, a great morning in the house of the Lord, a great morning praising the Lord, and a great morning, in a sense, holding hands with the Lord, and I hope it's a good one for you. We've been looking at, and still are, the various prayers, and there are many prayers in the Bible that one can get dug into and find all sorts of remarkable little nuggets of truth that you want to enjoy and just see what God will develop from the thinking of the happenings that went on in the years gone by. It is interesting to know that Elijah the Tishbite was an interesting man. I'm going to go to 1 Kings and 17. Here we have a story. It becomes a story that we had in Sunday school, and you kind of remember it from Sunday school times. I want to lift it from that feeling, but I need to tell it to you again. And I want you to look at this very carefully, because God never stops working. One of the things that we forget is that the fight between heaven and the world is not a sort of casual thing, as so many people think. And because we live in the earth, we sort of dismiss eternity. We might talk about eternity sometimes, but not in much detail, it seems. And we don't seem to put our faith in the things of the Lord. It's a great thing for us to be people that follow the Lord Jesus. Now, Elijah the Tishbite was the fellow who settled things with man on behalf of God. Before we get into that 17th chapter, if you turn to the 18th chapter, you discover that Obadiah meets with Elijah, and he talks, and it was in the third year, in the saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went and showed himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by the 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land of all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" And he said, "It is I. Go say to your master, 'Behold, Elijah is here.'" And he said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab and put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master is not sent to search for you And when they said, he is not here, he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know, so that when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth, has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave, and they provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, go thy way to your master and say, behold, Elijah is here. He will tell him to kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of God lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to me, is this you, you troubler of Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals, which are gods. Now, send them, gather to me, all Israel, at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of the Ashtoreth, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel, and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give you 2 oxen, and let them choose 1 ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, that is a good idea. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose 1 ox for yourselves, and prepare it first for you are many. And they called the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they took the ox, which was given them, they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and leapt about the altar which they made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried out with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired to the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name," so that the stones were built on an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are the God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "O Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal and do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back 7 times." It came about at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go thy way. Say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you." In a little while the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Now, there's a long reading. I didn't intend to read that much, but what a story. What a story. People spending time worship the wrong gods, going to all kinds of gods when there is only one God and creator of the ends of the earth, when there is only one God who is full of love and compassion and joy and peace. There is a God who is full of long suffering, and he loves his people. He loves us with a massive, massive love, and he endures with great patience our sinfulness and wretchedness and wrongness. And it is this God that we have turned our backs upon. You can say that this country as a whole has rejected the Lord their God in all his power and all his abilities, and they have ignored him who loved them and gave himself for them. They have taken away the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of resurrection, the real meaning of the witness of the Holy Spirit, and they have turned these things into pleasurable weekends and drunkenness and foolishness and overeating, all sorts of things that we should not get involved in. These things have happened, and they have happened in our day. They have happened in our time. And we've gone along with all that has been done and all that has been said, and we have said, oh my, the government says this and the government says that, and we will do what the politicians say. Well, we know they said once that they agreed with us, but now they disagree with us, but we'll go along with them. Why are we so foolish? There is one God. There is one creator of the ends of the earth, the living God who is Jehovah to some and is the Lord Jesus, the Christ to others, revealed and proclaimed by the Holy Spirit. Why do we need more? Why do we accept a religious community that is nothing to do with Jesus and nothing at all to do with the living God? And that is the way we want to live. I was listening to a broadcast that wasn't Christian, but I was listening to a broadcast as I came over the mountain the other day back into Bend, and I was very conscious of the man that was talking. He is saying that we are killing so many children every year under the guise of being so holy and so rich and so this, that, and the other, but we're killing children by the thousands. He made a quote of more than 60,000. Exactly what the number is, I'm not sure. But I know this, if one is dying at the hand of a selfish man or woman, then we need to change the law. We are a country of laws, and we've managed to break most of them. We are a country who once held the person of the Lord Jesus high and holy. There was a time in this country when we remembered God. We kept the Sabbath day, and we kept it holy. I know we've gone away from that. After all, we can't make money and go to church. But people didn't always go to church. They made money on the side. Or they went to church to make money. Oh, there's all sorts of arguments and there's all sorts of things. The fact remains that we turned our backs on God. He never turned his back on us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, rings the bell of hope in the heart of everybody that is called Christian. I will not leave you. Jesus is a friend, and he never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. That doesn't mean his laws of the Old Testament are the way to live. It means that the new and living way that has been revealed in the New Testament is the way for us to live in the freedom and in the joyfulness of being free. When I came to America 40 years ago, I told my children, it was only a short time before England would fall into such sin that it would be rejected by God, and the people that followed God would be fewer than we've ever seen. I had just come from, in man's eyes, a successful mission course with Eric Hutchins, evangelist. We had had over 20,000 a night for six solid weeks. And we had that many people turning out. And down in London, Billy Graham was receiving approximately the same amount of people, but he only had a week in England. There was a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that time, and there was a massive turning to the Lord. There was a massive time when people, being reminded of the living God, they turned to him. But I am told now that that's all vanished. It's a historical factor, and that's all it is. That was in the 1960s, and we came here in 69. What a tragedy. The great British Empire that brought to the world a language that the world would understand is the nearest thing to being united since the Tower of Babel, as far as communication is concerned. It is an interesting factor that this little country was a sterling country and could get out and about, and they made boats that surely were just so small when you put them in an ocean. They made the Titanic and the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth look like little pea pods, and they were smaller pea pods themselves. It was difficult to see that that vessel could cruise all the way to America. Yet our founding fathers came in such a small boat. People died of all sorts of illnesses on the way over here, and people who landed at Plymouth Rock, they were amazed at the enormity of this country as they began to discover it. But thank God they did. And I'm so thrilled to be in America. We are free. Our soldiers are all bashed up and smashed up, and some were killed, and yet we were all, every one of us, we were all given freedom. God made us free. And free we are. Free to live, free to love, free to act, free to do whatever we want to do. We can do so many things. This is a great country. And I said to the children as we emigrated, don't tell people this isn't as good as in England. England was better than this. Don't say that. Don't even think it. Say it's different. And then start working on the fact that things are different. You have to change. I have to change. We must change. We must change what we do and how we do it. We must change because this is a free country. And we did. I have three of the most successful young men and women I've ever met. They are my children. They are just splendid people. Two girls, one boy. I'm so proud of them. And then I have 10 grandchildren, and I pop buttons over these kids because the word got to them through their parents. We don't go into debt unnecessarily. We don't do silly things. Let's avoid dishonoring Jesus. Don't marry a girl or a fella that is outside of Christianity. Make sure he or she are loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's happened so far. And I believe will continue to happen in this family. And they have grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Your family can change. You can change. God has given you the power. Now, one of the things here that I must point out as we close is that Elijah's prayer was honored by God, and the honoring of the prayer was enormous, so that with great confidence he could say, "This day go up into Mount Carmel, make sure the priests are all there." Elijah got rid of all the priests. Now you say that was a terrible thing to do, to kill them. But they dishonored God, and they stood as priests of God, but they were dishonoring him. And God destroyed them, and God is going to destroy in this country and any other country where he is rejected and not accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at a crossroads in this world, and soon this world will start to disintegrate, and very soon we shall see the face of Jesus face to face, and soon we will hear the chariots rumbling. Old Elijah, he was not a young man. I wish I had his puff that he exhibited. But he ran in front of Ahab's chariot, and he got to Jezreel just in front of Ahab, who was riding in a chariot. It's rather like a chap in a Ferrari says, "I'll beat you there," and a fellow in a T Ford from the 20s says, "I bet I can get there before you," and he does. Whoa, what a thing. What a put down of the massive ability of a racing company. Well, now, dear friends, I must stop, but I must ask you, please, turn to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. He will love you and keep you. And turn to the Lord. He will show you this new living way. And what a way it is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will help us, show us the way, and help us to walk in it, and cause the Lord Jesus to be glorified in all that we do. For we ask it in your precious holy name. Amen. Bye-bye.